You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Listen, hang on, woo. I was in the middle of something in general, and those blokes of sport are bloody well right. You are an ass. Why would you cut me off in the middle of... I'm halfway through. I've researched...
It was nothing to do with your material, because we didn't hear it. We'd gone...
Well, you didn't even tell me. You were so...
We'd gone too long.
You do this on television, wind up.
Don, the discussion.
Then you
go
30 seconds.
Rod wanted to know, did someone actually call him an asshole? Or
no.
Did that journalistic license.
Keep going.
Well, go on now. Go ahead with
We're into sport now, aren't we?
No, say what you were going to say before.
Sport.
No, whatever. Before we had to just wind it up because of a time constraint.
No, it's of no interest anymore.
It was an interest before we cut you off. Tell us what it is now.
No, it's lost all its thing.
No, it hasn't.
You just got to move on.
Well, we're moving on.
Okay, sport.
Yep.
What was it, Don? Just give us the topic.
No.
COVID.
No, you're not going to get it out
of me. What did he say when you round him up and cut him off?
I wasn't listening.
You said, why is it about... What was it, Don?
Can you tell... We're doing sport now. Now, listen, I watched a little bit of the Big Bash.
Yep.
Can you tell me why some of these players can't play in the Test team? Why are players now either test players, one day players, or big bash players? I thought if you could play cricket, you could go between the three.
I think they're very different now. I think you're going to see more and more of that happening.
Well, what?
Do you know, I'm not a cricket devotee. Could you tell me this?
The shots are different.
But you still got to hit the ball.
You've got to graft out of the knees, you've got to buckle down, you've got to hold down an end.
But you can adjust to that. You say, well, I'm playing test cricket now, I've got to stay here.
There's lots of good players. And it's like comparing a backman to a forward now.
I've got to be convinced, mate. I mean, bowling.
If a bowler runs in quickly in a test game or a one-day game and the bloke slogs him over the boundary for a six... What is the difference whether it's a test match or it's a one-day match when you pick the right ball to do it?
Well, of course. You're talking about the absolute... You're talking about the pointy end, though, of success, of course. A six is a six. It's not about that. It's how you defend your wicket or how you defend... You know, how you build an innings. That's where it comes. It's not about hitting sixes.
But hang on, mate. Hang on. If you're any type of athlete, any type, you know, we're only going to play for, 20 minutes. I've just got to get in and get runs. Oh, no, I'm here for 5 days. I've just got to slow down and build. Nothing outside, nothing loose.
A freak like Gilly who could just strike the ball so cleanly and hold, he was a great
Warner
batsman.
Could go between the three.
Yeah,
so
freaks,
could
no,
Smith.
No, he's still going to have the freaks that are going to be able to play.
Can you tell me about this bloke called Maxwell and is it Finch? Finch the captain?
Aaron
Finch. Why can't Aaron. They, can't they play...
Aaron.
He knew something about cricket, so we had to
let him know. Well, play golf.
What? Played golf with Aaron Finch. He's a very good golfer out at the Capital.
Well, what's that
got? You'll never ever get to, Don, because it's a select group that can only go out there. Sorry,
and
go
they've
ahead.
Got COVID. They've had a COVID scare.
When was the last time you played at Capital?
A while ago. Because, of course.
How did you get on?
How did you get on? How did I get a game there?
At Capital.
Because I'm on quite good terms with the person who organises the venue on behalf of the Crown Casino, the Crown Entertainment Complex. I won't mention his name because he doesn't like publicity. He's a very keen Richmond man as well.
Is he?
Yes. I won't mention his name, certainly, because he doesn't like publicity. Don... here's the thing you just mentioned then, that the Indians...
No, we're talking about one-day cricket. Well, I talked about Maxwell. Why couldn't he? I know he's a little bit jumpy, but why couldn't he play test cricket, one-day cricket? Why is he just relegated at the Big Bash?
Well, it's marginal. He could. But at the end of the day, we're talking about there's only, six or seven batsmen in a team.
But the Australian batsmen at the moment are leaving a lot to be desired, aren't they? They're desperate. They're bringing Warner straight in after not playing cricket for months. And Pekoski There's a big build-up with this young lad. A lot of, I go back to Rick Darling. I haven't seen a build-up or David Hooks. This kid's under. Yeah, there were two that were, you know, very highlighted in Sheffield Shield cricket, came in and didn't really make it.
Matthew Elliott?
Oh, no, Matthew, he was a solid, a different, he was a really
solid.
There was
a lot of hype. He made some big scores big for a long time before he got to go.
State.
That was the same with Hooksy and...
And Darling.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like this because, you know, young talent, prodigious talent coming through.
What's his name?
Will.
Well, the test match might be in jeopardy anyhow, because the Indians, some of the Indians were in an indoor dining facility in Sydney, and now they have been accused of not adhering to the quarantine. And they said...
It was here, wasn't it? Before they left.
All right. I don't know where it was.
Well, didn't they travel out to chat?
I didn't tell you this.
Don... They are
so
now
you know something and you're not...
No, this one I've got nothing to do with. He's trying to... He's forgotten where he's heard it.
I have forgotten. I've heard on the news that they have broken the quarantine rules about eating indoors, and they said, well, you... I was going to take you do an Indian accent, but I won't. They said, you can't suspend us because we won't have enough people to put in the team. We'll run out of players to field.
Why are they able to play the game in Sydney... Now, I understand about racing. It's a big money spinner for the government.
That's
the state.
You've hit it on the head, money.
But hang on, what money is derived out of a game in Sydney, a test game? There's the McGrath Foundation. They'll miss out. Yes, I know. It's a big deal. What other monetary thing?
Television.
Well, couldn't they play it in Melbourne? Or couldn't even the McGrath thing come down to Melbourne?
But hang on, I think they're bringing 30,000 people in per day.
No, I don't think so.
Are they?
I think they've cut that back. I have no idea what I'm talking about. You should.
Because an Indian tour is pretty good for the economy. They have a lot of loyal.
What do you mean in each state? So you think it'll be patronised by expatriates?
Well, I can just tell you my experience with the MCG last week.
Yeah, well, expatriates.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know.
Anyhow, Don, we're going to speak to this is a sport, but we're going to interview a guest.
What, an Indian cricketer?
No, an Indian cricketer. No, we're going to interview a female athlete about sport, and there's a couple of very interesting questions I'd like to ask her. Why am I mentioning this? Because... we're trying to get her into a time frame so that this doesn't go over because we put a designated call in at a certain time to her. Now, I want to tell you this, Donald. I've found a new sport. I want to. This has got me. And if it came out here, I would go along and watch it. I want. What are these names synonymous with? These names. What sport are these names?
Would you watch it or play it?
I don't think you could play it. I couldn't.
You couldn't play it.
You might be able to.
You sort of do, Don.
You sort of could play it. But other than catching a 90-foot wave in the World Surf Championships, big wave championships, this is...
Have you seen that on YouTube?
Yes.
Off the coast.
Bread TV?
Yep.
Yes. Have you got onto Bread TV yet?
No, not yet.
Have a look. They have a big wave off
big
the coast
wave competitions.
Is it Spain?
It is.
They're towed out there.
They are.
That is scary.
That is scary.
Really scary.
If you want some
Is that wave running all year or is it only a certain time of
the
year?
What they do? The spotters who organise the comp, they monitor world cyclone and hurricane weather patterns. And when a certain cyclone or hurricane manifests itself off the ocean somewhere near where that happens, they say this is going to result in king tides and huge swells with an offshore breeze. And then they quickly get the surfers to that venue to take part in catching 100-foot waves. That it is, other than MotoGP... Not other than they'd be on the same par with having the gonads, the courage involved in catching 100-foot
wave.
They're towed
into it, John.
They are.
I saw towed on a thing.
Yeah, you know who we could get on to talk about this?
Who?
Who's a gun surfer, like a gun.
What, a big board?
No, you're a gun at everything, he told me. Sam. He reckons he's a gun. Sam.
Yeah.
Sam who?
Sam.
He told me yesterday that he was a gun surfer.
He was down at Point Lonsdale, but it was only 2 foot wide. Shore break.
Don.
And he's on a bloody 13 foot plank.
He told me how good he was.
He's on a 13 foot plank.
I was unbelievable.
George Rice. Did you ride a George Rice 3-stringer?
Rod is correct. I did say I was a gun surfer, so I'm happy to say that. And you are correct, Don.
A George Rice. I've still got it at
home.
Yes,
and you are correct. I only rode 6 and 7 foot waves. The day I went to Bell's, before Bell's was even, this was in the 60s, I went with a couple of schoolmates, and we sat out the back at Bell's. And if you know the configuration of Bell's, they only break from left to right. It's only a right hand. You get on the wave and you turn right quickly, or else you're in the cliff. We sat there in 20-foot swells in Easter, because it's coming up now when the king tides are on. We floated over for 3/4 of an hour, 20-foot swells, and I thought, I'm actually a pretty good surfer. I'm going to catch one of these. 20 feet it was. A 20-foot wave, it was a pretty big wave for me anyhow. Caught one, and my heart, I reckon, was beaten at 300 beats a minute. And so I caught one of them and I rode it okay. So we got the courage to go out and we surfed 20-foot waves for the morning. These people over there where you're talking about, they're catching 100 and 120-foot waves. I'll show you a picture. You can't see it on this podcast, but I'll show you a picture of a bloke catching a 100-foot wave. It is extraordinary that you would do it. Now, the reason I brought this up, Don, because I was a very good surfer, as Rod was trying to embarrass me, but I'm happy to say I was an excellent surfer. The reason I brought this up, tell me what these names are synonymous with. What sport?
Tell you, how big was your board?
I think it was 9 feet.
Did you go down there?
Yes, it was 9 foot.
You didn't have a mine was 12 foot six, 13 foot.
No, but that had a cork in the end of it, and you used to empty the water out of it.
Oh, you idiot. You are a bloody... The shorter boards came in about 1960.
Well, maybe
68.
10 foot. Maybe
68. But up till then, they were all 12 foot.
Maybe
13.
10 foot. I
took it down to Gunnamatta, and they all wanted to ride on the plank, my plank.
That's right. But that's the evolution of how
I understand.
Make boards and things.
Yeah, I understand.
Had a fin in it. Yeah. Tell me what these names are synonymous with.
Go on.
Little Two Train, Smooth Operator, Good Night Robber Chow, Foghorn Leghorn, and...
Well, they're cartoon. One Foghorn Leghorn is a cartoon.
Silent Night, Boogie Bomb, Safety Meeting. What are they? Are those names synonymous with?
Well, there's a cartoon character. One.
Yeah. Well, I don't
Silent
think too
Night's
hard.
A
they
character.
Are bulls.
Hang on.
Bulls.
Oh, sorry, bulls. That is bull. Pro bull riding.
Oh,
that's got me in.
Oh, that's that. You have got to be mad. I spoke to an Australian. My friend from Burke used to. Ride to compete in America.
Bulls.
No, not bulls. Buck jumpers. He said he wouldn't get on the bulls.
Well, this is my...
You got to... The bulls, they move. You know, their skin actually moves. You just can't get fixed.
Don, this is... I've got onto this. I've been watching it on the television. The pro bull riding, it's fascinating. Oh. And the jargon associated with it. This bloke had ridden... And that there's families that breed... Bucking
you breed bulls, and they're worth not millions.
Millions.
Well, they're worth a lot of money, and they're exceptionally well looked after. And it's hard to get good bucking stock.
Well, Don, you know how Michelin get the Michelin or Pirelli get the contractor supplied tyres to the Grand Prix, and Sharon get. Contracted to provide the footballs to the AFL. Well, there's these companies vie to supply bulls to the bull riding events, and the two big families are the McElroys.
That's in America.
In America, the McElroys and the other ones.
The Gills are
the Krugers.
And the Gills are the one of the families in Australia that supply radio stock. So if you want to come north with me. Yeah, they have rodeo at the show.
Well, only if you can
show.
Get an entry, if you can get into an event.
You can get up there. We could have a good time because they have the rodeo and you could watch it. It's very good at Gympie.
Anyhow, the Krugers have supplied the bulls for the last... They have the contract to supply the bulls.
Yeah.
And the family who has the greatest bragging rights is if their bull bucks off every bull rider that gets on its back. And it's fascinating. You know, the bull riders study the way the bulls buck.
Welcome to the real world.
Well, it's fascinating. And
what about
most
the
bulls just turn round one way. They buck from left to right. And then, but it's the, I think, Little Two Train. Little Two Train. Little Two Train is a big, huge, 2,000-pound animal. And the bloke was watching the video who got bucked off it. He said, you know what? He said it only bucked from left to right, but he said it threw me, no pun intended. It took me by surprise because it suddenly bucked round the other way, and he said, I didn't realise it did that. Yeah, so
Have you looked at those cowboys before they get on?
Yes.
How they strap themselves up, how they walk with a limp, how they're buggered physically.
No, but
and they get on those bulls and they're incapacitated before they even get on. It seems to be a badge of honour.
It is extraordinary. And here's the thing I didn't understand. You strap your one hand in, whichever hand it is, and your free hand is not allowed to touch the bull.
That's right.
It's like handball in...
But you're strapped in, Johnny.
With the one hand.
Yeah, one hand.
And the other hand is not allowed even accidentally to graze the bull as you're being...
Well, welcome to the world. If you come to the Gympie Rodeo, I'll show you all of this.
This bloke rode the bull for... I think you're meant to ride them for 8 seconds. 8 seconds, I think. And he rode it for 7 seconds, and as the bull flung, Little Two Train, flung himself round the other way, his hand grazed its neck because he was thrown, and they disqualified him because it was like handball. He touched the bull. Yeah, and the blokes, and he got so far ahead on points that the bloke said, now, Frankie McLaughlin's coming up now, but he's got a spare bull. You can get a spare bull, meaning you're so far ahead you didn't have to ride the bull because you were a spare bull. I like that, Don. You know, you get a spare in bowling, 10-pin bowling, or you get a double fault in he had a spare bull. Isn't that esoteric talk from people who commentate on the sport, a spare bull? Yes, Frank's got a spare bull.
Supply of bulls like the supply of footies in, like, you know, when you used to get paid to pick a Ross Faulkner instead of a Sharon?
So what are you saying?
Yeah.
The supply of bulls, you know how they compete.
No, you pick your bull, you pick your... It's a,
no,
they do.
But the families...
No, they do. They go into
do they mix the families
they
up?
They go into a draw.
Yeah, pick your bull.
You pick your bull, you say, I'm going to ride Boogie Nights.
No, you're not going to ride. You are
one family doesn't supply to an entire event.
Yes.
They do. The guilds do it here in Australia, and there's other contractors are called stock contractors, but guilds is a very old rodeo name in Australia, and they supply stock, bucking stock, horses.
Is it as corrupt as the footies at
the AFL level? I don't know. I'm not into it.
No, but how much
did you used to get paid to pick a Ross Faulkner?
I only got $100 off Ross.
Yeah, so every time they bought the selection
ball. And Lee Matthews had come around and say, why do I pick the Faulkner before
Why'd you pick that ball? He could perhaps speak about that at the reunion that Fox are having. Why he asked Don to pick Faulkner's
instead
of
Sharon.
Yeah, and you said no, I'm picking the Faulkner.
He said, because I'll be $100 richer.
Yeah,
cash was.
So you're corrupt.
Corruption.
That's corruption, isn't it? It's good. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it is. So that is that fascinating. I can't wait to have the pro bull riding come on the television again. It is extraordinary. They sit on these things that
You should ring my friend Peter Simmons from Bourke, who is Australian.
Peter Fitzsimmons?
What did I say, Rod?
Peter Simmons.
Peter Simmons.
Oh.
He was an Australian champion buck jump rider who did the circuit in America.
Love to speak to him. Get him on the phone.
Well, we can get him on the phone. And,
well, you got his number?
Yeah, of course I have.
Let's ring him.
Not now. We'll do a segment if you
want
to talk
about... Let's
just
ring him now.
Why should I ring him now? We're not doing...
We only care
now.
You
set it up. We'll set it up.
I'll set it up.
Okay. And
I'll set it up.
And you ask him how they used to travel the
circuit. I want to see this conversation. Hello, Peter. It's Don Scott. Who? Don Scott. Who are you? Peter, please. We'd like to speak to you about bull riding. What are you fucking talking about? I'm up holidaying with my family up in
Queensland.
He
lives in Bourke.
The back
all right,
of,
well...
Beg your pardon?
The back of.
No, he lives at Bourke. Oh, right. They've got a caravan park on the Darling.
No, the back... He said the back of Bourke is a joke, play on words. You said, no, he lives at the front of Bourke. He just lives up on the foreshore.
People do live out the back of Bourke.
Oh, that's what he said, the back of Bourke. That's a just play on words.
Anyway, let's ring him.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, this will be another one of those where I ring, you two are floundering. Will you ring so-and-so? So I get so-and-so on the phone, or you teed up, and you two trump me. So I've got to ring so-and-so. I'm sorry, but, you know, you two.
Anyhow, I...
Is this going... No, I'm not going to...
Anyhow, Don...
Do you want to speak to him?
Of course. I tell you, for those boys... Boys, I don't think there's any women doing it unless there's some transgenders. Those boys sit on those...
Do they,
Don?
What?
Do women ride in the road?
No, right, the women only do the barrel racing. They've had three barrels out and they're on a horse. Jeez, they mad doing that
can
as
we,
well.
When we speak to your mate, can we
His get... wife used to barrel race. Well,
I'm sure. Can we get Sam...
he says, I'm sure. His wife used to barrel race,
yeah,
I'm sure
Tracy,
she...
Was it,
can Tracy we get Sam Barrel.
Can we Simmons, you idiot.
Oh, Tracy
she
Simmons.
Was barrel racing girl.
Can we get Sam a job as one of those clowns?
Yeah, the clowns, they're pretty...
You would be quick enough.
That's tickled your fancy,
it
don't
it? It has, you with your crook.
Do you know someone
you
said...
get out of the
some,
road
Do you know what someone said when I oft sometimes tell a joke that you find humorous? It takes you... This is... They described it beautifully. They said, this is how
Who
it goes.
Who tells you all this?
This is how it goes. They what? Said, this person... listen, they said... When I said about the incest and arson, I said, you know, the bloke who didn't know the difference between incest and arson, he went home and set his sister on fire. They said that took you. It's, this is how it went. This is how they described. They said, you said this. You said, I said, Don, do you know what the difference between incest and arson is?
Hang on, I'm ringing Peter Simmons.
What?
I'm ringing Peter Simmons. You said I wouldn't get him on the phone.
Yeah?
He won't answer.
Not answering.
Fucking Don Scott.
See, he knew I was ringing on. He's listening to the podcast. He won't pick it up because of you. So many people would like to come on this podcast, but you're.
It's true.
Hey, well, let's go through. Can we go through?
Look at him smiling.
Can we go through the names?
No,
thank you for calling Kidman's
account.
So available at the moment.
Well, to turn it off,
Peter.
Well, turn it off.
Thank you.
Could be anyone.
It's not, it's Peter. That's
yeah, it could have been anyone.
Look at your microphone, Don.
Yeah, Don.
Don't
I'm
be
just,
like him.
This is man. What...
You'll develop into a smart ass.
This, I'll tell you, this is what this person said. This is the only reason they listen. They're waiting for me to tell sort of a joke, and you... So I said this one day, and they repeated it. They said, you said... Don, I said, what's the difference between incest and arson? And you said... In fact, you just shook your head. You didn't say, oh, I don't know. And I said, well, the bloke went home and he didn't know the difference between incest and arson. He said, his sister on fire. And this is how it went. And they said, it took 2 seconds and then suddenly this is what happened. They went, what's the difference? He said, his sister on fire. They said, shit. Takes him 3 seconds to get it and then he guffaws. Guffaws like a behemoth.
You know what it is? It's because at the start, your first couple of laughs are quiet. You know how you take in deep breaths?
Oh, thank you. See, I told you we should have had a camera. Yeah. And people have said we may as well now
that we don't make money. It's not like it's going to compete.
What do you mean compete with
what? Well, remember when we thought we were going to make money, we thought it was going to compete?
Oh, we buggered that up.
Sam did.
How many people won't come on because
that's we should do a list. Of the people who were going to come and pull the pin at the last moment. Will we start and mention a few names?
Nah, we shouldn't mention.
Why?
Because they might embarrass
them. It'll turn into a badge of honour and everyone will do it.
No, they reckon one bloke reckons we're racist.
Who?
No, yeah.
No one said that. Yeah, that's different to a guest. Actually, it happened last week, didn't it?
Yeah, this happened last week and it happened weeks before
the
you...
The painter thought that the painter...
Oh, that's right, the painter.
Yeah,
the
you remember the painter... that's broad.
The painter was okay because he was happy to do it on another forum because he thought it'd be good for his business. But then he thought, no...
Oh, I know
because
that.
We're not getting any money out of this.
A man of integrity.
And
who else hasn't come on here? A couple of friends of mine have rung and said, would you come on?
Don. We're going to truncate this now because we're going
I
to...
did a lot of work.
Come on,
sport.
Give us some quickly.
Give us a quick
well,
one.
Okay, I was going to talk about the Gold Coast, how Rhys Shaw is now appointed a development manager at the Gold Coast, yet they can get rid of all the ancillary staff.
Very good point, Don.
What?
That's a good point you make.
And also...
what about the due
I'd
diligence?
I'd like to ring and talk to Michael Warner. I read an article in The Sun yesterday. He said that the clubs own the AFL. That's not right. Because when I was on the board at Hawthorn, the AFL owned the club colours and emblem. So the AFL owns the clubs, doesn't
it? You said that to Jeff
Because
Kennett.
They were talking about an independent inquiry into the AFL, or he was, doing a story.
I think it's the IP you're referring to.
Beg your pardon?
The IP. The intellectual property of the colours and the jumpers and whatnot.
What's intellectual property about in football?
In terms of the colours and the whatnot, the trademarks and whatnot, I think the AFL holds
the AFL
as a collective, right? But then the clubs own the AFL. Well, you know, they are the stakeholders of the AFL.
But it's not a... Because this is what they found. And what they're doing now, you know, this break or so-called muted break or... It's been going on for... what's the name who's on here? John Elliott. Organised it. He told us he organised it up at Macedon when he was president of Carlton. They've never been satisfied with the AFL. But anyway, I think there should be a review into the AFL, but how are you going to do it? It's a separate body to the clubs.
So
anyway, I was going to talk about all that.
Well, no, did. Too late next.
So this was the final thing that our friend, our contributor Mount Gambier.
Hang on. Anything else, Don?
No. This was our final thing from the contributor from Mount Gambier said. He said, what part of Popeye never gets rusty? Popeye was a
cartoon character.
No, yeah, but he was...
I know, he was in the spinach.
Sailor.
Yeah,
boat. It was the name of a boat that used to go up and down the Torrens River. It was called Popeye. And this kid...
What do you mean, in Adelaide?
Yes, but this bloke thought it meant Popeye, the one you're talking about. And he said, what part of Popeye never gets rusty, meaning the bottom of the boat? And this kid said, it's the part that he puts in olive oil.
I'm open around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't treating me right. Come back again. I'm just crazy about you, babe.